This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Jimmy Vaccaro with us today. Of course, whenever there's something big in Vegas, which is like every weekend at the NFL season and college football gets started, we go to Jimmy. But there is also Mayweather and McGregor on Saturday. Jimmy, of course, South Point Casino Resort. He is their sports marketing director. So Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys, is going to be with us. It comes up at about 10:20. It is Thursday, so we have Goody at the movies. Bill Goody Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. Bill was right in the middle of everything with Donald Trump the other night, and of course he has movies to get to as well. He talked with Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson, for those of you that have young daughters, you would know Robert Pattinson as the guy that constantly has been clogging up your screen over the last, I don't know, 8-9 years with Twilight, because he's always there. He's played Edward the Vampire. Like, I've had two daughters, now they're in their 20s, and I've had more than enough Robert Pattinson. But he's trying to reinvent himself, I should say, with a new movie called Good Time. So we'll talk with Goody about that and a little bit, too, about what happened with Trump the other night.
Clearly, you are a parent.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do Twilight. I'm not. I'm not really in that. I'm a Gen X. I'm not a millennial.
Yeah.
So I'm post-dated, I guess, that era.
But you're married.
I am.
Does she have, like, favorite actors and actresses that she drags you to? You don't have chick flicks where you've just sitting there taking one for the team?
No, like she saw Magic Mike with all of her girlfriends, but there's no way I was going to go see that.
No chance. That's a man card reduction.
Right.
That's a man card being revoked if you go to see Magic Mike.
It's one thing to sit down on a Saturday night in the summer and watch You've Got Mail, but it's another thing like to go to the movie theater.
It's a great movie.
It's a chick flick though.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not going to see Magic Mike, so sorry.
See, chick flicks, here's the thing. When you're married for close to 30 years.
Wow.
You just get drug into these things. Like when the Twilight movies came out and I'd get those movie premiere deals and I would take my 12 and 14 year old daughter and I'd work over the PR rep and say, look, I'm going to go see the movie. I'm going to talk about it. I need to bring a third with me. If I bring just one daughter, really not good. So then I go to these movies.
Do they usually cooperate? Is there some flexibility there?
Well, they used to. I don't know about anymore now that the girls are out. But when you have teenage daughters or young daughters and you can drag them to a premiere and then they can go tell all their friends at school about how cool it is to go to a premiere and, you know, what the movie's about. Those days are gone. Did you hear about Floyd Mayweather this morning?
No.
So, you know, the fight is on Saturday.
I'm aware of it, yes.
Are you going to watch?
No.
By the way?
No.
Nowhere?
No. Unless there is an opportunity where I get an invite to someone's house and they say, hey, we're having some people over. We're going to get some food. Come on over, and if you could toss in $15, that'd be great to help cover the cost of the food. I am not going to go to any of the sports bars and pay
$40.
Yeah, $50 just to get in to see the fight. I am not going to.
So you
do have
some interest then?
I absolutely do.
Okay. So Mayweather this morning at 3:30, 2:45 actually, pulled up this morning in front of his club. It is a gentleman's club, using my Charles Barkley slang. A gentleman's club, which means they're only topless.
And this is in Las Vegas. I'm assuming because both fighters have arrived. I think they got in on Tuesday.
So he alerted certain media to be at the gentleman's club. So rather than, like yesterday, they had their final press conference and both guys didn't say much. They were both subdued because they've been hyping this thing for the last 6 weeks. So what better way to get publicity out of males to go cover you because you own a strip club or a gentleman's club, which means only topless, not complete nudity. So this morning, I'm seeing stories from USA Today that went and met Floyd there and went into the gentleman's club and the Washington Post and others. It's pretty interesting to me on this one. He called over two dancers and then ordered Red Rose to go up and be on the main stage, while two of them were doing pole dances for him while he was doing the interview this morning at 3:30 a.m.
How Floyd Mayweather like of him?
How Floyd Mayweather, you know, Jimmy is not big on him.
Nope.
And so I'm curious, Jimmy Vaccaro here in about 10 minutes, how he's handling this. Is Vegas going to come out on top? And it, look, if you're into the whole idea of sports and MMA, some people are MMAs, some people are boxing. You and I have been around long enough to know that there was a time where boxing ruled.
Yep.
This is coming too close, I would say, in terms of buzz. But if you're a sports fan, do you want the boxer to win for the sport? Do you want the MMA guy to win to bring that sport further up? Do you like McGregor better as a guy than Mayweather? Because, you know, Mayweather's beat women. He goes about his business in a way of just like, you know what, this is who I am, deal with it. There's other people like, yeah, well, athletes beat women all the time. Doesn't make it right, guys. Doesn't mean we should excuse it. Is it going to set all types of records by tomorrow, by Saturday night? I would think so. It certainly sounds that way.
Floyd Mayweather's not losing this fight, though.
He's 49-0.
He's just not going to lose on Saturday.
But it's boxing, right?
Yes.
So you know that if they're going to make $100 million on this deal, or north of that, if he loses, they can make $300 million in 9 months on a rematch.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, and it's one of those deals where if 20 seconds in he gets dropped, everybody and their brother is going to say that they were robbed and I'm never going to do this again. And of course they'll do it again because people want to see how this ends up.
Except if you bet on McGregor in the early rounds for a TKO or a knockout, then you'll be really happy because the odds of him winning this fight are really, really, really low.
Right. No, you're right about that. My wife and I have been invited to a wedding on Saturday afternoon. It is a Greek Orthodox wedding. I have never been to a Greek Orthodox wedding. I understand that, and it's late in the afternoon on Saturday. I understand that those types of weddings, the couple does not say a word. So I'm kind of interested to see that whole process. And then quite honestly, we've got the Chandler game against IMG Academy. I should swing by and see that, you know, what all the hubbub is about. And that is Saturday night. Fight probably won't get going till 9:30, 10 o'clock. There is this thing called social media where I don't have to go pay 50, 60, 80, 100 bucks to see it. I'm not going to pay for it at my house. We'll talk to Jimmy about all of this here in a few minutes. This is an interesting weekend for the Arizona Cardinals from this standpoint, and actually the next 2 weeks. So they're going to Atlanta to play the Falcons. Who cares? It's third preseason game. So what? Get out of there healthy. There's been this narrative pushed out from the organization, in my humble opinion, through the broadcast crew, which is fine. I'm not holding this against Dave and Ron. I'm not criticizing them. It's just the other night they were so emphatic that have the Cardinals found their bridge quarterback, which to me says somebody within the organization or some group of people are saying, yeah, this is probably the way we're going to go if Carson leaves at the end of this year. But now there's some quarterbacks that are popping up. We talked about one of them yesterday, Brock Osweiler. I'm not saying Brock Osweiler should come here. He's owed $16 million. I'm not a fan of his. But sometimes you need the right landing spot. So if you're the Cardinals and you're sitting here with Drew Stanton as your backup, and if Blaine Gabbert makes it as the third quarterback, which it appears he's going to, and you feel as though that he can be that guy, that his luck so far in the NFL of bouncing around has just been nothing more than being on bad teams and bad organizations, that here in Arizona, he's going to get the right counsel, the right tutoring, and he does have something there. It's not just Brock Osweiler, though, to start taking a look at. So Blake Bortles was a third overall pick. And if I'm to read everything out of Jacksonville correctly, and if I'm to just look at the lay of the land, his time is about to run out. Chad Henne is going to get the start this weekend. Blake Bortles hasn't done much, but it's a third pick overall. Add to that, you have the opening of the college football season, starting with a few games this weekend, but all getting underway really next week with ASU, New Mexico State, and U of A, and NAU as well. So on the college front, Eric, have you seen or heard much about Josh Allen, the quarterback at Wyoming? Have you seen him play?
Not a lot.
Okay. Are you interested in seeing him this year just to see what all the hype is about?
I am.
So he's a big guy. I've been reading about him. I have not seen him. I'm sure I could go to YouTube and see video on him and film and all that stuff. But sorry, I don't do WAC football. I don't do Mountain West football. I He used to do WAC back in the day, but they're in the Mountain West.
If he is, if a game comes across my guide in the sometime in the upcoming season, I'm sure I'll watch him. But he is not at the top of my priority. But because he is such a hyped potential first round pick, he's going to be on a lot of these late night highlight shows just because it's him. Usually Wyoming wouldn't get a lot of love, but because they have him, they probably will.
Okay, so they open at Iowa on the 2nd, and that's so it's Labor Day weekend.
Good measuring stick game for him.
The following week, they're home to Gardner-Webb. Why Gardner-Webb is going there has to do with just a lot of zeros and decimal points to pay for their athletic budget and get slaughtered 80-0. But the following week, Oregon goes to Laramie, which is really strange scheduling to me.
Wait, that Oregon?
That the Ducks.
The ones with the cool uniforms?
The ones that are going to be here the following week.
Wow.
So Oregon goes to Wyoming. And as I was going through this and looking at schedules, I'm going to try to find the Iowa-Wyoming game, but I really want to see the Wyoming-Oregon game. Because, look, it's Pac-12. He's going to go up against speed that he hasn't seen at Wyoming in all likelihood.
I don't have the Pac-12 network, so you'll just have to tell me how he plays.
It can't be a Pac-12 network game.
Sure.
No.
Oh, yes.
No, Gardner-Webb.
Well, oh, no. I thought you meant Oregon.
Oregon-Wyoming?
Yeah. That's a Pac-12 network.
No.
Sure.
You think?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool to me.
That's not.
No?
Where would they put that game? What network would pick that up?
You could hype that as Heisman Trophy candidate, potential number one quarterback in the country.
That could be like a late ESPN2, like 8:30 kickoff game. It could be.
Could be an ESPNU game.
Could be.
I'd watch that if I'm a programmer.
Oh, I love the late night games. Those are the best.
But so if you're Steve Keim, let's think about this, Eric. There's going to be Josh Allen. There's going to be Sam Darnold. There's going to be Josh Rosen. Those are three guys that are going to go in the first round. And those three guys could go in the top 10 pick. So as the Cardinals are sifting through this, have we found our bridge quarterback, which is Blaine Gabbert, if I'm to believe what I'm hearing out of the broadcast crew, and I shouldn't say definitively, but it was raised very strongly the other night by Dave and Ron, and I don't think they're going to go out on a limb unless they've been kind of given a heads up on this. And so a guy like Blake Bortles does nothing for me, but his time has about run out. When you find a quarterback whose time is about to run out, when they had Brian Hoyer here, Blaine Gabbert's time ran out. Why not go down this path? And, of course, some of you are already sending me notes about Colin Kaepernick. So if they took Blaine Gabbert and didn't take Colin Kaepernick, that answers your question. All right, Vegas is next stop with Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director, the wisest of the wise guys, 40 years plus getting it done. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sesmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, channel 686 on DirecTV. We appreciate their support. You can check us out Tuesday through Thursday. And actually, they aired us again today because they like us so much. Great partnership. And we partner with AZ Central Sports. And now let's go to Vegas. As always, when the big things happen in Vegas, we check in with Jimmy Vaccaro. Jimmy, of course, with South Point Casino Resort, the sports marketing director of the South Point Casino Resort, the place to stay when you go to Vegas. Terrific sports book, terrific people there. And I really enjoyed my time when I was up there back during the final, or March Madness, I should say, and had a great time there with Jimmy and company. And he joins us now to talk about Mayweather, McGregor, the NFL, and the college football season's opening as well. Are you interested in this fight, Jimmy? Just person to person, you like this fight?
Well, I don't know whatever you want to call it, my friend. First of all, it's good to hear your voice again. Second of all, you're welcome at the talk point anytime you feel like it. And yes, I am excited only because it goes beyond just a fight. It's an event. It's drawing a lot of attention. But this I can tell you because everyone's been reading the paper. They're having trouble selling the tickets for the T-Mobile Arena. But my friend, let me tell you, it hasn't harmed the betting side of it one bit. We are going to shoot through the $50 million we've taken on the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight statewide handled two years ago. This is off the chart. Right before I left yesterday to come home, we had a fellow who we had never seen before walk up to the counter and bet $100,000 on Floyd Mayweather. We're going to see a lot of those bets between now and kickoff. But, my friends, I can't wait. I think it's exciting. And it's just something else that, like, The trick is, my friend, is like this is uncharted waters.
Right.
Nobody
right.
can tell you definitively what the hell's going to happen. That's what makes it so intriguing.
Mayweather's been somebody, though, that you and I have talked through the years, and he's hard to embrace, right? I mean, if we're just talking yep. about looking at this fight on that merit alone, would it be in the best interest of sport to see McGregor win this fight?
No, because now you could just erase boxing and put it in the closet. Mm. I mean, there'll never be another fight. It'll just simply be a boxer versus a boxer. This will open up an entirely new way of doing business, which I don't think will maybe after a while that the flash is gone, that you'll see so many of these MMA guys going in against a boxer. Boxing needs a shot in the arm. They don't need a devastating left hook right now to knock them out. I am convinced of that.
All right. And in terms of T-Mobile, don't you think right up to the fight, suddenly people will pour in to see it, or is this just going to be one that will do really well at the South Point and others in Vegas?
Yes, it'll surely benefit everybody here connected with the service industry. Make no mistake about it. There'll still be a lot of people in town. Maybe a lot can't afford to basically, you know, pay a ticket for the fight. But there are a few parties that are being invited. People are invited to that they can go there. We don't have that at the South Point, but we'll have plenty of interest. But the interest is always is just there, my friend. It is, first of all, and in a little bit of a way, it comes on a very nice weekend. We got a few college football games up there, and nothing will gravitate towards what we're going to see in the next 48 hours concerning the fight. So it's not going to hurt, even if it nicks us up a little bit about the possibility of not selling out the T-Mobile Arena.
Okay, if we're just talking about the numbers on this, what's it look like, the numbers on this fight in Vegas?
Well, right now at the South Point, after we've taken a $100,000 bet last night, we went to a little over 5-1 if you want to lay it on Mayweather. In other words, you're going to lay $515 to win 100 on Mayweather. Conversely, on the other side, we're going to give you $4.25 for every dollar you bet on the underdog. We are taking a lot of money on the props. Here's one that'll fit in with you. Maybe one of your customers came down and did it. They bet $35,000 on Conor McGregor to win by decision. To me, he should be getting 100-1 because, first of all, I just can't see it going 12 rounds. And if it did, I just can't see McGregor outpointing Floyd Mayweather. But that's the type of action we are getting. That's the type of intrigue that we're getting. And that's why it's a huge event.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us from Las Vegas. As always, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. NFL season getting underway. What's it look like in Vegas? Is it all New England? Are there some teams fans putting money down on some different teams, Jimmy?
Yeah, Tampa Bay's gathering a lot of attention. And naturally, how can you forget the Oakland Raiders. I mean, every time we turn around now, because everybody's surely waiting for them to get here. But it's created a whole new rooting section that we'll have for the entire season. A lot of money on the Raiders to win the division. A lot of money over the 9.5 win totals. Just a lot of money with them. Naturally, and picking in the side door now is the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Brad, we have written over $600,000 worth of bets with season win totals.
Wow.
That's an incredible number from where we came from. It shows you the interest of what football means. And how can you top this? Basically, the first weekend, Florida State and Alabama. Open Alabama, 3.5, up to 7. We're getting some buyback on Florida State. What a way to kick off the season, my friend.
One other question about the NFL, and that is the Arizona Cardinals. They're a team that's mm-hmm. viewed as right in the middle of the pack this year. What's the view in Vegas on Arizona this season?
Early money on over the 7.5 wins. We're up to 8 over the favorite tier, and that naturally it's still the question mark has always been Carson Palmer. He looked good in the first game. What will happen now? But I can tell you some early money on the positive side of your Cardinals. We'll see what happens from here.
Appreciate the time and insight as always, Jimmy. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks.
All right, pal.
Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, South Point Casino Resort, Sports Marketing Director. Good to hear Jimmy's voice. It's been a while. The show just feels better, Eric, doesn't it? When you get Jimmy jumping on board from Vegas, it means that we're finally coming up to the season where there obviously is a lot more interest in the sports world, not to demean what's going on with the Diamondbacks and all that stuff.
So. And the summer flew by, Brad. I mean, I can't believe it. Looked at the calendar today. It's like, wow, it's the 24th of August.
When Eric and I first started this, the conversation was, how are we going to get through the summers?
That was my concern. That really wasn't your concern, in all fairness.
Well, but it was, you know, if we're going to go out and do our own thing, how are we going to get through this, right? And summers are hard. You know, summers are, people are gone. You're waiting for checks and all that stuff. That's the business side. That's just what you do when you do this, when you're on your own, which is fine. We've got great partners and great sponsors. But when there's the way that things have gone in the sports world in the last, coming up on 6 years now, it is a clock that just goes year round. Not just football. It's the explosion of sports. And just like talking with Jimmy, you know, the last month, while I'm not all wound up about McGregor Mayweather as some people are, it's interesting to me, but it has given us something cool to talk about outside of fake football in August, which I'm seeing more and more fans figuring out this stuff's garbage and why am I even paying attention or putting money on it. You know, save it for the regular season. And it does help to have a baseball team that's relevant. You know, they're playing today. Not that you should go find them, but Robbie Ray looks pretty good. I'm happy to see him back on the hill. Goody at the movies in about 15 minutes. On the other side, Grand Canyon University back in the news cycle. We'll talk about that and a few other things on my mind before we get to Bill on a Thursday show. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. So yesterday we talked about Robert Lee, the broadcaster at ESPN, play-by-play guy that was pulled off of doing the Virginia game against William & Mary because of what happened in Charlottesville last week. What I thought was interesting, and this is kind of me going down my my professor aisle over at Arizona State, is, well, I'll just watch SportsCenter and see how they address this. What do you know? They didn't make one mention of it, even though it was one of the top trending targets yesterday. Not one mention of it. Now, you could make the argument as we look at Robert E. Lee on one side and Robert Lee on the other, that ESPN pulled the Robert Lee, just so we're clear, on the left, from doing the game in Charlottesville.
It was an ESPN 3 game, Brad. Not to interrupt you, but it wasn't one of their mainstream games. It wasn't even on traditional television. It was an online-only game. So,
does that make it even more silly what they did?
A little bit.
Yeah. Don't you think you have to address that?
Yes.
If you're producing a TV show now. So
I help out, but yeah.
But you're producing it and you produce this show. If it's something that is out there that is being reported, even if it's something you think internally, this is really silly, doesn't there come a point where you have to at least address it for 30 seconds? If you're doing SportsCenter, if you're doing First Take, is it a First Take topic versus being a SportsCenter topic?
It is, but I guarantee the higher-ups at ESPN told First Take, don't you dare mention this. And I'm sure they told all the SportsCenter anchors and producers, don't you dare mention this. Because like we talked about yesterday, Brad, if this thing doesn't get leaked, no one knows about it. I mean, who knows? Do you know what the ESPN 3 broadcast lineup is for the games in 2.5 weeks?
No
clue.
So you think, from a news side standpoint, you wouldn't go up to management and say, we've got to put this in the show? You wouldn't feel that strongly about it. You'd let it go.
I mean, you're really robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. If you say something, you're only bringing more attention to the situation.
And
people think fanning the flames a little bit. But if you don't say anything, you're still going to get people fanning the flames a little bit.
I tune in to see how they were going to handle it. I didn't see one mention of it, and they just want it to go away. But yet, there it is on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post and on their websites yesterday at certain periods of time during the day.
And SportsCenter has become so miscast that it wouldn't – I mean, I'd have no problem if they did that. I mean, SportsCenter is not what SportsCenter used to be.
SportsCenter is not must-watch TV.
You go in the mornings, I think I told you here at Skyview, they hop around – different ESPN channels for SportsCenter. It used to be you turn on ESPN from 6 in the morning until noon, just wall-to-wall SportsCenter. Now it's on for an hour on ESPN, then you have to go over to ESPN 2 for a little while, then it bumps back to ESPN, and then it's on ESPN, you know, it's on ESPN News. It just, there isn't the consistency because ESPN's trying to mix up their programming in the morning because people have Twitter now and don't need to watch SportsCenter.
Are you finding yourself watching FS1 at all?
No.
Me either.
For college football.
Yes, they're going to get a bump. They're going to tell people in October how great they are when they have baseball. Remember, they had the Cubs last year. So they were telling everybody how great they are, and their shows still aren't doing much of anything.
And that's an argument for another show, trying to find TBS and TV.
Trying to find FS1.
All these other stations that the playoffs are on now.
I got a letter from a former student. I'm going to run this one by you. This happened late last night. I just opened it while we were in a break. Essentially, this is a student, if I remember correctly, was a very good student at ASU. I am a I'm an adjunct over at Cronkite. And I usually don't turn too much, but my personal life comes out here at times. And I wouldn't ordinarily do this, but this is interesting to me. This is a student of mine last year. He's also a member of Barrett Honors College, so he's into the business side, which is great. He's got to complete a certain amount of honors level courses, credits for graduation requirements. He's got to do a thesis creative project. After considering my topic and number of possible faculty members, and there's been many who could fill the role as my thesis director, I wanted to officially extend the offer to you. He wants me to do this. Now, here's the kicker on this. Over the last 2 years, he was very fortunate to be with the Bourne Braves of the Cape Cod Baseball League as the first team sideline reporter videographer. He's done play-by-play broadcasts, and it's the college baseball top summer league. If I'm going to put some time in this, and you see me, you know, I'm kind of going a lot of different directions right now doing things. And they're all good. Huh?
You think?
Nah, that's good. Should I take this on? The role of thesis director, that's kind of a heady deal that somebody looks at you and says, would you be the guy that looks at my project? I'm running this by you because it's the Bourne Braves, the Cape Cod Baseball League. It sounds kind of dry on one hand. On the other hand, it sounds really interesting.
It sounds pretty cool to me. I would just wonder, from your perspective, the time commitment.
Well, sure.
On something like that.
Sure. I'm looking for fatherly advice here.
I mean, it could be an octopus, as we say here in the business.
Well, yeah, it could be an octopus. But, you know, here's somebody that has is doing his Barrett Honors on a baseball league, Cape Cod Baseball. Cape Cod has good baseball.
Very good baseball.
Very good baseball. So I'm kicking that around.
I know a couple of members of the staff that would love to pick up this assignment if you didn't want to do it.
Yes, but I don't know if they could. Jordan and Haley would much rather be doing baseball 24/7, 365.
They'd go out and watch
in the
beer league softball.
Yes,
every
they would.
Night,
yes, they would. And they wouldn't play. They would just want
to
do it.
No, they just go out and critique it and talk about it.
Like, they come in here, they're two seam heads. It's the only way to put
ridiculous.
It.
Ridiculous.
They have no lives. I'm convinced.
But it's
that.
A good balance, because although I like baseball, baseball is not my passion. And to those two, baseball is definitely their passion.
He's done 200 innings of repetition. I was able to grow immensely as a broadcaster, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it's very long, but he wants me to do this thesis. I just don't know. Do I write him back and say, heck no? That's not very cool. If he thinks enough to put me down.
What's your time window on this for an answer? Does he need to know about the business today? Is it?
It's like three pages of what he, thanks so much for taking the time to read this long-winded email. I hope you'll consider helping me with this project. I truly think it could lead to some special things. Thanks again, Mr. Sesmat. Hope you're having a great semester. So, I don't know. He's got a lot of these links in here. That's just very, very long. So that's where I'm at on that. Another big story yesterday that caught my eye was over at Grand Canyon University. So yesterday they were granted Division I status, and now it is permanent. Now we know where they're moving forward to. This was no surprise. Last week, there was the little dust-up, or kind of a big dust-up, where Brian Mueller threw some high heat back at Michael Crow. I have been on GCU's side on this since day number one, and I'll continue to be on GCU's side on this for a long period of time. Michael Crow says things like, well, only one school is participating in playing U of GCU in sports. That's not true. One school within the Pac-12, he said. No, it's not true. U of A is going to play them in they already played them in soccer. Washington State is on the schedule to play them. So, you know, if you're going to look at basketball, if that's all you're going to look at, go look around at your other sports. And understand the benefit and how all of your coaches under you who will not say it to your face want to play Grand Canyon University because it saves on travel budget and recruiting.
How much did it grind ASU's gears, do you think, when Sean Miller and the U of A contingency comes up to the Valley and sits in a press conference with Dan Marley at GCU and they talk nice about each other and talk about how excited they are to play one another. And Sean Miller goes out of his way to talk about Dan and the great program.
They collaborate to put this event together.
And the Havocs, yeah. And how he doesn't want to go play at GCU, but he'd be more than happy to play in a neutral court. I mean, that has to not only like stick the knife in, but twist it a little bit, because, you know, U of A is the envy of the entire state when it comes to basketball.
Well, if you go down to the media in Tucson, okay, if you go open the homepage, the Arizona Daily Star, there is more U of A basketball stories today, because I was there this morning, than there are football stories.
As well there should be.
And so Grand Canyon, because they don't have to be burdened with football, and football is a burden financially, they don't care about football. I don't think it grinded Ray's gears. My personal opinion on this is Ray Anderson gets GCU and would love to play GCU. That's my personal opinion. He has never said that to me, but whenever I have asked him, he has said, well, that's something above me. That's above my pay grade. It's always pointing the direction upstairs of Crow. And so what's happened? ASU has this archaic, antique dump of an arena that they keep putting off to get fixed. And Bobby and coaches take their recruits over to the practice facility. They won't even take them there to see it. Meantime, Dan's got this shiny object that ESPN has blown up as one of the best, if not the best, college basketball environment in the country. And so they've just zoomed. GCU has just zoomed past ASU, just blown right by them. And then they're playing schools within the Pac-12, and they're playing schools in other sports across the country. We had their women's soccer coach on earlier this week. They played Texas Tech to open up the season. Yeah, they lost 1-0. So what? They're playing a Big 12 school. If all you're going to do is say, they're just going to go away. They're just going to go away. No. That's why they've blown right by you. It's just funny to me how they've completely crapped the bed on this one, in my view. They just have. And it's not that hard. You know, go meet Brian at a coffee shop and you two work it out. Instead of you're worried about your online market share, it's not changing. It's not going to go away. It just comes across as very petty. Very, very petty is how I see it. Goody at the Movies is next. Always good to catch up with Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. That is on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, channel 686. Appreciate all of our partners. Our title sponsor is your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate theirs and everyone's support. And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, time to get ready for the weekend. It is time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, media critic. He was right in the middle of all the Trump stuff the other night. Did you get any tear gas? Anybody shout you down? Anybody say obnoxious things to you? Or were you sitting on your couch taking it all in?
I was sitting on my couch taking it all in, which did not in any way prevent people from saying that.
Oh, Bill, your phone's bad.
Can you hear me?
Your phone's bad. Now,
better?
Now you sound better. Now you sound much better.
I watched it on my couch, which did not prevent people from saying obnoxious things to me.
Well, your phone is being hang on. Your phone is being obnoxious. We're going to hang up, and Bill's going to be with us here in a minute. Your connection is obnoxious, and there's nothing worse than an obnoxious phone. That stuff happens. Bill is going to talk about the movie Good Time, the movie The Trip to Spain, and the movie Ingrid Goes West. Bill also interviewed Robert Pattinson this week. So Bill wants to talk about Robert Pattinson as I go off my notes here. Robert Pattinson, of course, was with Twilight. And in this movie, Good Time, that he is now in, that's supposed to be the big movie of the week. It is a crime drama in which he plays a dirtbag. So we have all that to get to with Bill once we get his connection straightened out. And now Bill is back with us. You were saying about Trump, you were sitting on your couch.
Which did not prevent people from saying obnoxious things to me. I often write about you know, the way that the media covers Trump and how he sort of plays to the media and stuff like that. And I started to watch his rally here in Phoenix. You know, the night before, he made kind of an easy lead-in. He asked for a healing of the divisions and all this stuff. And I thought, well, was he going to take his own advice? We'll see. And after about 45 seconds, it was clear that he wasn't, which it was fine. Again, I was looking forward to an easy night, you know, just like he might say some crazy stuff, but whatever. I'll let greater minds than mine take care of that. But then for 45 minutes of this 80-minute speech, he railed against the media. And he didn't just rail against them. He told outright lies. And at some point, I just said, I can't stand it. I have to say something about this. And, you know, it's funny because the first, you know, they posted it online, and the first responses I got were very positive. They're like, oh, this, you're exactly right, da, da, da. And then the next day, I started to get, like, to hate me on stuff.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine at the LA Times said, yeah, that's because all those people were at the rally, and they didn't have time to read it then.
But, you know, it's fine. You know, there's a line that gets crossed. And as you and I have talked here since the Trump presidency has taken place, you've been put into a different position, I think. It's not that you've ever taken a political stance and you're not here. You're not taking any political stance here. It's just now you're writing about something as a media critic, TV critic, as well as seeing movies. And anything you write that has any little bit of this is not true what he said, you're just going to get pummeled by that side. That's just the way it is. Well, you're never going to win, Bill. Not that you're trying to win.
Well, it's because, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to win, but I am trying to be accurate and stuff.
Yes.
But I heard somebody say this the other day, and I think it's depressing. They said that we live in a post-truth era. And it's like, how bad is that? I mean, but that's the thing, that like, facts don't mean as much, and it's they're not malleable. Fact is a fact. It's not an opinion, and you know, I don't know. But if the president of the United States is on live television telling you that they are turning the cameras off, and you were watching the network that he says they just turned off, and they didn't turn it off, that's pretty easy to prove.
Well, when you say the fire marshal, you want to thank the fire marshal, and then you see dozens of people putting up pictures showing the back of the room had room for thousands more people. It was not sold out. I mean, and I'm not hating them. It's just that's a fact. It wasn't sold out. So don't say that it was sold out and you have to thank the fire marshal. It's just like, yeah, you're right. Well, no, there's plenty of room on the back of the bus. There's plenty of room in the front of the plane. And that's nonsense. Why do you need to go down that path? So
I believe that is a question that people will try to answer for years to come.
All right, so you talked to Robert Pattinson, and I said this off the top of the show today. Robert Pattinson has been one of my greatest, I don't know, thorns in my side, because having two daughters that were teenagers when Twilight came out meant that I had to be drugged to go see Twilight, and it was just dreadful and it was painful. But they loved it. They loved Robert Pattinson, and now he's a dirtbag in this new movie, so he's trying to reinvent himself, right?
Well, yes and no. I would say that he's great in it. And yeah, I mean, the Twilight movies are horrible, but they made him a big star, and I've got to imagine that, you know, works out pretty well for him. But I talked to him and he was hilarious. He just laughed the whole time. He's really funny. And from his point of view, this is just it's not like a Twilight movie, but from his point of view, he's just been all the time trying to do interesting stuff. And he said he just kind of fell into the Twilight movies, you know, and they became and nobody really remembers this, but there was some question with the first one if they were going to be as popular as people thought. And of course, it took off, and he took off, and Kristen Stewart, by the way, has done the same thing. She's done some really interesting, cool stuff since those movies. And so it's always interesting to me to talk to actors about that, because to us, they're sort of encased in amber. You know, they're like doing this. We think of them in this one role. And to them, that was like a job they did. And then they went on to another job.
It's kind of like
they don't sit around thinking about how I was Edward in Twilight. They think about what they're going to do in the next one.
It's kind of like Daniel Craig being James Bond. And then last week or a couple weeks ago, something comes out. But so this movie, let's talk about this movie, Good Time. Is this any good?
It's very good, and it's pretty brutal. He plays he has a developmentally disabled brother who is one of the directors of the film, by the way, but he's an actor, not actually developmentally disabled. But he wants to rob a bank to get money so that they can somehow sort of go away, and he is just an idiot. So, yeah, I mean, It's one of the worst bank robberies you've ever seen in your life. Luckily for them, at least at first, the police are more incompetent than they are. But his brother ends up in the hospital, in jail, and then later that night in the hospital. And the movie consists of a single night where he is trying to get him out. And he just, he is a moron, and he just, he, I mean, he can't get it right. But he's also kind of a bad guy, and he's trying to do the right thing, but he has no clue how. And so it's kind of, parts of it are really funny, and parts of it are really disturbing, but it's really interesting, and I liked it. And the energy is like nonstop. It just starts and you go, and then, you know, hour and a half later, you're done.
But you really like it. I can hear it in your voice. You really like it.
No, I liked it a lot.
All right. All right, so go see that. The Trip to Spain. This is supposed to be funny. The Trip to Spain. Is it good?
It is good. It's the third, you know, third time around. It's probably not going to be as good as the first time or the second time. Steve Coogan and Rob, Brydon, the British comics, this is the third one they've done. They go around Europe under the pretense of doing, like, you know, a documentary sometimes or like a restaurant review for magazines, and they eat great food, but mostly they just cut on each other. They play sort of lightly fictionized versions of themselves, and they do a lot of celebrity impersonations and stuff. They're really funny and really good. If you had never seen the first one or the second one, you would probably think this one was great. But, you know, I would say start with the first one, which is simply called The Trip.
All right, The Trip to Spain, but the first one's The Trip. All right, Ingrid Goes West. This is about the obsession with Instagram, from what I had heard. Is that the main theme here? What's this one about?
I would say so. Aubrey Plaza, who is great, she should get an Oscar nomination for this. She never will, but she should. She plays a sort of a mentally ill woman who becomes obsessed with people on social media. And she thinks if they respond to her at all, then they're like best friends. And, you know, on social media, they have these people who are sort of influencers. And Elizabeth Olsen, who I love, who, like, one of my kids says, oh, the good Olsen. She is that social influencer, and she tries to develop a relationship with her. And it is just at times almost cringeworthy, just really hard to watch. But they're both really good. But it's parts of it are funny. Parts of it are very sad. And it's just, I really liked it, and it's a really good, I wish every, like, teen could see it and understand it. That it's not a glorification of this. It's like a cut down of it, you know?
So this is one of those, though, that as I see it, of the three that you mentioned to me, this one seems to be the most interesting. But are you saying it's geared more towards a younger generation?
No, not at all. Okay. I think I liked it. It's super weird, but I like that. And it's and the performances are just fantastic.
Is this Camel View or is this Wide?
This is, I don't know if it's, I believe it's Camel View. It's definitely not Wide.
All right. Yeah. No, it looks like something artsy, which is fine. It sounds bad, but it's not meant to be. That's what Camel View does. I don't mean it to sound like that, but I probably just dug a hole and I'll never get invited back to Camel View again. So
it's not bad.
So which of the three, which one would you recommend most this weekend?
It depends on the audience. I probably you can't go wrong with Ingrid Goes West or Good Time, and that would make for just like a brutal but interesting double feature.
That'd be fun. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it as always. See you.
All right.
There's Bill Goodykunz. Goody at the movies. Good to hear his voice. AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic. Sometimes I get notes from you guys. You don't like it when Bill and I do the political side, but Bill's covering this stuff, and like he will be under siege on social when there's stuff that is out there that he's putting out. If you miss any part of the show, it repeats all day. It goes over to a podcast form as well. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He always is known as the Iron Man. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day and my mood. Thanks for being with us and appreciate our sponsors, those that are part of us. The partners have been terrific and continue to be so. Appreciate them and their support. Have yourself a great day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.